Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent. Nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent.
Top talent. This is my podcast. Top talent.
With me, Rhyming Richie.
Welcome to Top Talent, the fascinating podcast about incredible talent residing or coming to Albany, New York's capital region, with your host, former radio personality and resident rhymer Richie Phillips. And now, without further blabbing from me, your virtual announcer, who really doesn't exist in the flesh, as if you couldn't guess, here's Richie.
Well, thank you, Mr. Artificial Intelligence. My name is Richie Phillips, person with artificial intelligence, and this is my podcast. It is called Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates in Smallbony, New York, in the capital region. The whole idea of the podcast is to feature people who are either coming to the capital region, that have talent, by the way, or were born in the capital region and leaving the capital region, and maybe they made it big, maybe they didn't. But I wanted it centered around the capital region. Maybe I'm going to expand this to at least upstate New York, but for now, it's still about New York, and it's still about talent, and that's what I'm here for. I was a morning radio personality. I don't know about the personality part, but I was on morning radio for almost 30 years on a radio station here. It was a country radio station. That's a long story how I got involved with that one. But it was a great ride. I had a great time. Met some incredible artists. I could do some podcasts on that alone, just some of the experiences I've had. Novelty songwriting is what I like to do. I guess that's my quote-unquote talent. But everybody has a quote-unquote talent. I firmly believe that. Even tribute bands. Tribute bands is R? I don't know. I was never good in English. That's not my talent. Tribute bands are a very interesting subject area for me. I don't know. You can look at tribute bands in two ways. Some poo-poo it and say, well, it's not original and that doesn't take much talent. And then there's the polar opposite. And I've seen some tribute bands and they're just unbelievable. They're like the originals. What do you feel about tribute bands? Do you like them? Do you go to see them? They're a hot commodity. I'm telling you, they make a lot of money. And there's a ton of them out there. I've already done two episodes on tribute bands. I did a Billy Joel tribute act that came here, and I will put a link in the show notes to that one. I also did one that was a Joni Mitchell tribute act, and she was fantastic. And that also is a link that I'll put in the show notes as well, and you can listen to those two. And I will also have links to where you can hear their material, because I can't really play the material on the podcast because of copyright problems, but that's a different subject matter, and don't get me started. But anyway, this tribute act that I'm going to be talking about on this episode is one that's right here locally. I guess they've been doing this for a while, and I really wanted to pay tribute to the tribute act. This is a Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash tribute show, and it's at a venue here called the Little Vegas Wedding Chapel and Theater on Campbell Road in Rotterdam, New York. You can go on their website and actually check them out. They're in a mall called the Viaport Mall, and actually, this place is a tribute to those wedding chapels that are actually in Vegas, so they kind of recreated that, and it's very cool. Bill McGrath is one of my guests. He is actually an Elvis tribute artist who took on the Johnny Cash persona for this particular show. I know he does other people as well, and I didn't know that, but he's well known in the area as an Elvis impersonator, quote unquote. By the way, this show, April the 8th, if you're listening to this before April the 8th, is his last show here because he is moving. He'll explain that in the podcast. And you can call now at 518-419-1334 to reserve your tickets. And Jenna Sue, who is just an unbelievable talent as well. She plays all over the place. She sings. I actually did a show with her recently, and I realized what kind of talent she has. And she takes on the really big shoes of Dolly Parton in this particular show. So without further ado, I want to really talk to them about what it's like. How do they prepare for a show like this? And, you know, what you can do to go see them. I interviewed them separately, so we're going to start with Jenna Sue here on...
Okay, so here on my little podcast, we have my friend. We've worked together several times in the past, and I'm really interested to see this other project. You have so many projects. This is Jenna Sue, ladies and gentlemen. I know you really do. It's hard to keep track of you. This is the Little Vegas Chapel in Rotterdam for you folks who are out of town. This is a kind of a replicate of one of those chapels that are in Vegas, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And he really makes it, you know, feel like that too.
Yeah. And this is in
the
Rotterdam.
Decorations and.
Yeah. Huh. And where, what is, well, I didn't want to get into his background, but how did he come up with this idea in the capital region? Is he from Vegas or the owner?
No, but he's a big entertainer.
Oh.
And, you know, he did the Elvis impersonation show. He used to be in Lake George at the Great Escape, actually. That's actually where I first saw him.
Oh, okay.
And I was only probably like 11 years old when
right.
I saw him. And he did the Elvis show and for a couple of years, I think. He does a great job pulling off Elvis. He really does.
And
Johnny Cash, which we'll be doing.
Wait a minute. Bill McGrath? Are you talking about Bill?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah.
He runs this place?
Well, so he was running the place, he and his wife, and they were actually doing weddings because people would actually have ceremonies there and have their weddings, and he would officiate.
He would officiate it, and would he do like an Elvis thing there at the wedding?
Yes.
Oh, so it was like an Elvis chapel.
And dress in the Elvis get up and all of that, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. That's interesting.
But they're going to be moving, so it's under new management now, I believe.
Gotcha.
It is under new management.
Gotcha.
So they're trying to do different things there. They're just trying to bring some people into the venue and into the mall, I think. But
sure.
Like they have karaoke, I believe, on Monday and Wednesday night. Yeah.
So what inspired you? Because I know you morph into all these different genres. I'll see you with a band one night. I'll see you doing country.
Yeah.
You and I have done country together.
Yeah.
And now, well, this is country as well with Dolly Parton. How did you get interested in Dolly Parton? And that's a big project.
So
Dolly
and Johnny Cash was actually an idea. I mean, Bill approached me with it, but I feel like it was both. Like, I was like, yeah, we should do that. Like Dolly Parton, and you know, we were coming up with different artists and things that we could collaborate together. And we just felt that Johnny Cash is like a huge staple in country music, and so is obviously Dolly Parton. So we thought it was a good fit because we could do some duets, we could do some solo pieces, and that's what we made the show. And it's exactly like that. And we did a dinner show, I believe it was last April. I think it came up in my memories, actually. it was last April. And then we had an encore show, actually, on my birthday this past year. September was the last one that we did because it was sold out the first time around. And it's popular. So that's why they wanted us to do it one last time before Bill and his wife move. So they're moving to Branson, Missouri.
Wow.
You know, because he wants to pursue the entertainment world even further, you know, with his career and everything.
Sure.
So I believe they're moving the end of April. So that's why this will be our final Dolly Parton Johnny Cash show. It's a dinner show. So, you know, you have dinner. And it's just a nice time. You know, you get to see an actual show.
You know,
we have the lighting and the music and the sound system, and his brother-in-law and sister run the sound, and they do a really great job with that. So, but yeah, we do like the costumes and all of that good stuff.
Now, let me ask you though, because I've been really getting more and more interested in tribute bands and cover bands, because they're all over the place. It seems to be.
Yeah, they are
very, very popular. Now, to me, there's a difference. Yeah. Is maybe I'm asking you, there's a difference between a cover band, like a cover artist, and a tribute band. Meaning, do you try to do her exact impersonation of her voice, or are you doing like your own interpretation of her music? You know what I mean?
Yes. So this is an exact tribute to Dolly.
So it's
and
a tribute
Johnny
act.
Cash.
Right.
So It is an impersonation show to the fullest.
Hmm.
And what's funny is I have people tell me I sound like her, and I'm not even really trying now. It just, you know, it just comes natural, I guess, after doing the first show. So, and I posted some videos and things of me, doing some of her famous songs.
Right.
And, you know, I'll Always Love You is probably one of my favorites.
Tough song. Whoa.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. And I really like Jolene.
Yep.
Coat of Many Colors. I mean, there's a lot. But then it's nice because then I bring out Bill and, you know, I introduce him. I'm like, you know, here comes the man in black. And
right.
We really like put on a show for people. So. Yeah. And they walk away with feeling, you know, like they just saw the reincarnation of Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash.
Yeah. And that's what they're saying about these shows is that, number one, you can't see Johnny Cash. But I mean, if you want to go see
right.
Dolly Parton, she's not in the area, number
yes.
one. If she was,
right.
it might be a little bit too pricey. But this way you get the essence
right.
of her without actually
right.
you know, seeing her. And it's still, you know, it's a loving tribute. You're not. It's not like a goof on her or anything like that. You know what I mean? You're doing
no,
it in a positive way.
No, it is totally sincere.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a sincere tribute. It's not a, you know, yeah, like you said, it's not like a joke or anything like that. Or
right.
It's not like a comedy thing. It's definitely an actual show.
Mm-hmm.
And we had so much fun doing the first one. And we had fun doing the second one, too. And, we're really looking forward to this one. It's going to be our last one. So,
yeah, I'm glad we connected because I want to promote it for you.
Yeah.
Why do you think, are you getting younger audiences there? Do you think that younger people
so we
even
are,
know who Dolly is or, you know, know?
Yes, it's a mixture kind of.
Yeah.
You know, we advertise, so we do get some younger people. We
right.
get some older people. I mean, I would say it gears more towards like a 50s, 60s and up. You know, crowd, but
right.
we do get some younger people because we have, you know, friends and family and, you know, fans that come out and support. So, and it's a dinner show, like I said, so they get, you know, a full dinner. And there's, when I say dinner and a show, it's different because it's inside, the venue is inside the mall. So,
right.
you know, obviously there's no alcohol served.
Right. Oh, right.
So it's just dinner. Yeah. So they make these like different, you know, I guess you want to call them like mocktails, they call them.
Sure.
So they're different. They have like a bar there and they make all these different smoothies for the, you know, younger kids and things like that if they'd like one. So
mm-hmm. yeah, it sounds like a great thing.
It's really nice. And they decorate the tables and, you know, whatever show they're going to have, they decorate according to the show that they're going to do that night. So
now when Bill leaves, do you think they're going to continue our tribute shows? Will you still be a part
of? I believe they are. They probably are going to do, because I know there's another Elvis impersonator, I believe, Drew Paulson, I believe
oh, yeah.
is his name. And
yeah.
yeah, so he was there, I believe, recently. And they, you know, they do some lunch shows. Well, they'll do like a lunch with like Elvis and, you know, things like that for, you know, senior citizens. And, but I believe they are going to carry on with the shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
But as far as our Dolly and Johnny Cash show go, this will be our farewell show. So
yeah,
it's going to be sentimental and it's going to be bittersweet, but mm-hmm. it will be fun and it's going to be great. Nice send off for Bill.
And the date of the show again?
Area.
I don't see the date. Oh, wait, April 8th, right?
It's
Saturday,
April 8th. Okay. Yeah, on the flyer. And there's also a flyer when you walk past the venue, it's right on the window
mm-hmm.
of the venue. There's a big poster that says, you know, advertises us and the date of the show. And the time, I think doors are open at 5:30.
Okay.
And we usually go on about 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I think dinner's at like served at like 6. So, and it's like a 2-hour show. So, you know, I usually open the show and you know, we greet everybody. And then I, you know, I introduce Bill and he comes out. And then we do some duets together. And then we close the show, mm-hmm. you know, with singing together. So.
Okay. And the tickets are really $45 a person with dinner, reservation
yes,
needed, and
with
$35
dinner.
Without
That's
the dinner.
Dinner and the show. Yep. And it's $35 without dinner.
Great.
And just the show. Yeah.
And if you want to see folks or you want to hear some clips of Genesu doing this, doing Dolly Parton, where is, do you have it on your own website or you have it on?
I do. So it's on my Facebook page. I have some videos on there.
Okay. And your Facebook so is Genesu, just under
Genesu. It's Genesu.
Okay.
Yep. And so I posted some videos on there. You might have to put, like, because I have my Genesu regular page and I have my entertainment page. So you could just type in like Genesu / like entertainment and my other page will come up.
Okay.
And that is where I put a lot of, I mean, I put it on both pages, but my entertainment one is the one that's, you know, where I put the videos and things like that. So
gotcha.
I have some Dolly videos on there from the show, from past shows, like the last two shows we did.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I have some clips on there that people can see if they'd like to. Yeah.
I know you went to Nashville, didn't you, recently?
I did, yeah. In October.
I went to...
past October, I went to Nashville, yeah.
We have relatives that are in Nashville. This was several years ago, but we stopped off in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Where oh, nice.
That's her place, right? That's
Dolly's
place.
Yes, it is.
And we went to a dinner show there. She owns this huge theater. It was humongous, and they... Do you know the theater I was talking about? They do this huge.
I do.
Yeah.
I haven't been there, but I've heard about the theater there. Yeah.
Yeah, and they give you a complete dinner. You're sitting in the bleachers. They give you this dinner.
That's amazing.
And then they do the show. I think she owns the entire town there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What
yeah,
a business
she pretty
person.
Much does. Yeah. Dolly World.
Yeah, Dolly World.
The amusement park.
Don't you wish you could emulate that? I mean, you know, you could have Genesu World. You know, we could start that.
That
here.
Would be so cool. Oh, well, I don't know about that. But I just mean that would be so cool just to be there and
right.
sing there. Yeah, that would be really, really amazing.
All right. And while we're here, we might as well promote something else that you're doing because we're doing some things up in Glens Falls. Now, we're not on the same show this time, but which show are you going to be
no,
involved in?
No, we're not.
I know.
That's so great. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, and
that's
for you
so
as well.
Awesome.
No,
yeah,
I know.
Thank you.
So which one are you going to be opening for? Are you doing a couple of them?
So I'm doing the Kenny Rogers Christmas show.
Oh, great.
Yes. November 26th. So it's, you know, right after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on a Sunday. It's Sunday at 3:00. I'm just memorizing the flyer in my head right now.
Right.
But it's also on my page, the flyer. And you can also go to the charleswoodtheater.org to purchase your tickets because tickets are on sale now.
Or kevinrichards.com. I think he has them on there
or
as well.
Or kevinrichards.com. Yep.
Right.
And I believe he's selling them as well.
Now, wait a minute. For Kenny Rogers. For Kenny Rogers, you could do the Dolly Parton part again of Islands
yes,
in the Stream.
Yes, I can. So I don't want to give out too many surprises.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great. So this came
it's
in handy.
Yeah, definitely. It's early on, but yeah, it's November 26th, and it's at the Charleswood Theater, and it's going to be great going back there. After, you know, the Randy Travis show, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
And working with you was really awesome. Yes, it was.
I really enjoyed working with you.
I know.
It was so much fun.
I know. It was, the whole day was just amazing, to sum it up.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going to be, it's a country Christmas show.
Right.
So
like Kenny used to do, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Sure.
So I'm going to be putting some country Christmas spirit to the show. That's why I think Kevin advertises Genesu Country Christmas. So it's going to be really awesome. Yeah.
I may have told you, I think I did tell you this, but I'll tell the rest of the audience. When I did morning radio and we had a phone call to our radio station and it was Kenny Rogers' group. And they said, can Kenny sit in on your morning show with you? And we were like, oh no, we're busy. No, we said, absolutely. So he came in and sat in with us the entire morning. And I have a keyboard on the radio, as you know, I have a keyboard on the air. And it was like the 9 o'clock hour where we don't do any talking. So this was off the air, but he came up right next to me and he said, "Do you know any Kenny Rogers songs?" And I
do remember that story.
Oh my God.
He told me.
I'll never forget it. Yeah. And the only reason I bring it up is, you know, when memories come up on your iPhone, they, you know, you get these photos that that came up like 2 days ago. I'm like, oh my God. I'll just never forget it. That was the biggest thrill of my life, I'll tell you.
That's so great. So great. I bet it was.
Yeah, it really was.
I bet it was.
So thank you so much. And
Yes, thank you.
Yes. I'm glad. Now I'm going to call your other guy there. I'm going to give Johnny Cash a call.
Exactly. Johnny Cash, the man in black.
All righty. All right, Jenna. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Richie.
Talk to you soon.
All right, let's move on to the Elvis impersonator turned Johnny Cash impersonator, Bill McGrath, here on Top Talent. But first, you have to sit through a word from our sponsor, me. I've been doing weddings, private parties, anniversary parties, retirement parties, corporate events. I've been doing them for way over 30 years, and I'm looking for a way to fund my retirement. So if you are interested, I'm still doing them. Give me a call. 518-423-3011. I can provide DJ style music or play the keyboard. I can play the keyboard for the cocktail hour and then do DJ music for the actual party, or vice versa, or any combination of the above. And if you act now, and if you book within the next 6 months of this podcast, I will write a song for your group or for that special someone, and you can do it as a dedication during the night. I can sing it live for you, or I can have it on tape fully produced. Give me a call, 518-423-3011. You can hear testimonials and samples on my website at hirerichie.com, H-I-R-E. Let me give you a better way to remember it.
H-I-R-E-R-I-C-H-I-E.com.
That's hirerichie.com.
Okay, let's get back to the conversation.
Top Talent.
Well, this is part two of the podcast here. We're talking about the Little Vegas Chapel in Rotterdam, New York, in the it's the Viaport Mall, isn't it, Bill?
Correct.
That's it? Yes?
Yeah.
And we already talked with Jenna Sue, and now I'm on with Bill McGrath, who is also part of this Dolly and Johnny show. And it's really great talking to you.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Did we ever work together? I think we did.
You did. We did Proctors.
Proctors for GE.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. And I was really impressed with you. I really thought you did a really great show.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was as Elvis. I've never seen you as Johnny.
Well, you're going to have to come down and check us out. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, were you always interested in Johnny Cash? I mean, have you always done Johnny Cash shows and then were just put in with this one? Or is this the first time for you to do Johnny Cash?
Well, as you remember, seeing me as Elvis, it kind of, you know, look a little like him a lot. So
right.
It kind of is bad for my career, because everywhere as I go, everybody thinks I'm Elvis. So,
right.
Doing Johnny Cash, I still look like Elvis. I can't get away from it.
Right. So
it's kind of tough to break away from character when you kind of look like the guy. So,
right.
But Johnny Cash, we've done for years, and it was just something to do something different. I enjoy his music. And we've also done a couple other artists too. So we did Tom Jones and Alan Jackson. We've done a couple of get in character and dress up and get the wigs and the whole nine yards. So,
right.
And we have a lot of fun with it. It's something different.
Now, to me, there's two different. I guess you might have to make a distinction between a tribute act. If I'm going to see a tribute act, if I was going to see Johnny Cash, for me, I would like the person to sound a little bit like it. I don't want somebody doing an interpretation like their own voice, but singing Johnny Cash songs. You know what I mean? So a tribute act, that's the definition of a tribute act, right? You're expecting to see somewhat of an impersonation.
Some type of impersonation, you know, you know, Bobby Darin said that people only hear what they see.
Right.
And that's a big problem with a lot of the tribute acts. If they don't see what they want to hear, it's not there. It doesn't exist. So
right. You
have to be pretty much in character all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Johnny Cash had a lot of stage mannerisms that you have to emulate, and in his humor and his tone and all that. So
right.
Yeah, we got it down pretty good. We do a pretty good job with it.
Right. But you don't bill yourself as an impressionist. That's something different altogether, right?
Yeah. So when you get there, you feel like you've been with Johnny Cash that night. That's for sure.
Sure. And I was looking up some statistics about these tribute bands. According to a 2019 report from Ticketmaster, tribute and cover bands sell 1.7 million tickets a year in the United States. It's huge.
Oh, yeah.
And well, go ahead.
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go
That's
to
right.
see this stuff? You know?
That's right. It saves you money. And you can't see them anyway if they're not with us anymore, but also if they're not in town.
And if you really think about it, if it wasn't for the tribute people, we would forget about these artists.
Correct. That's
they don't play their music on the radio.
Yep.
It's not it. So if we don't do it, it will die. And that's the only reason why Elvis Presley Enterprise does not condemn us as tribute artists anymore. They call us ETAs, Elvis tribute artists. We cannot be impersonators.
Huh.
So legally we are Elvis tribute artists, and to keep out of the legal problems.
I was actually going to ask about that. So you actually do have to get some sort of permission, or you just...
If you are doing a tribute to, you do not. If you post yourself as the artist, then you have to.
Okay.
Okay, so that's why you have to be a tribute band.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was trying to read up a little bit on it too. And if you try to... If you're taking away the profit of a living artist, that's a problem, right? You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a problem with that. Well, you could have a problem with Elvis's estate too. If you posted yourself as the official Elvis Presley tribute.
Correct. In a lot of the contests that you go to have his image, his likeness, his name,
right,
his music on it. And those are intended to make a large sum of money.
Gotcha.
So, yes. They have to buy, I think licensing fees for that are some between $5,000 and $15,000.
Wow.
To have those big events. But you're talking, 400-500 to 1,000 people at an event.
Right. I also read that the Elvis Presley estate, they're not allowing the Elvis Presley chapel in Vegas anymore. That they stopped that.
They didn't stop it. They made them get a license.
They never had a license. Oh.
They didn't have a license to do the. I mean, you're talking that place made millions of dollars a year. So they wanted to cut. That's
sure.
all it was.
That's true. Right. Absolutely.
They wanted to cut.
Yep.
Huh. They saw the potential and they wanted it. And so that's it. That's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the business.
Sure. That's the business. Why do you think people are still interested in Johnny Cash, meaning like, do you see younger generations of people coming to the show?
Johnny Cash is a phenomenon to me. His music is completely different.
Yeah.
I don't really understand Johnny Cash and his style. I've got it. I picked it up and I get it, but I don't understand the fan base of it. It's, he's good, but he's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
But he's unique and he has a unique sound. And he's the, how do I explain it? I think he's the people's artist. He became their, I don't know, his their dark horse. I don't know how to explain it, but whenever we do Johnny Cash, the theater comes alive. It's amazing. And I've traveled the world and we've seen it. And everywhere you go, Johnny Cash, as soon as Ring of Fire comes on, the whole place comes alive. It's absolutely amazing. It gives you goosebumps.
Do you find a similarity in performing Elvis and performing Johnny Cash? When I picture both of them, there is a kind of a similarity. They have that magnetism.
Correct. His music is just exhilarating.
Yeah.
He's got some dead songs on it. You want to,
right.
Take a yawn bath and all that, but it addresses certain people,
right?
So when he wrote the songs, from what I'm gathering, he wrote it to that type of person who's down in the blues or had misfortune or went to jail, or he touched those people. And there's more of those people than there are of fortunate people.
Right.
And they needed something, and he was the guy. I mean, no one else was writing this stuff.
Right. He was in prison himself, right? I mean, and performed for prison
organizations. Yeah, I guess he was there.
Yeah, an interesting, very interesting career.
Yeah.
What's the favorite song of his that you like to do? Anything that gets a response, right?
Well, they're pretty much all, I mean, Folsom Prison automatically get your toes tapping and the place comes alive. Ring of Fire, same thing. And then when you want to when you perform, you can't always be on top the whole night. You have to make them laugh, you have to make them cry,
right?
You know, so you got to go back and forth, and with Johnny Cash songs you can do that quite a bit. Elvis too, you can go up and down all night long.
Sure.
And that's what they like. They want to cry once in a while and feel sad and be patriotic. Elvis, they were both patriotic artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the minute you start touching American patriotism, you got the crowd back again. It's just amazing how what they wrote, the songs, and what they felt. And when they performed those songs, they were quite intense about it. You could feel it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't commercialized. It was real.
Mm-hmm. And the pacing of the show is important. You're right. You know,
absolutely. Yes.
I know you do weddings, or you have done weddings there in that chapel, right? Did you actually?
Correct.
Yeah, you did. And it just made me think, I've done a million weddings as myself, you know, DJing it and playing music. And I've always told, like, you'll get these brides and grooms that'll say, we don't want any slow songs. We just want all fast the entire night. And I said, yeah, but you've got to pace the music, you know, because if you play a slow song and then follow it up with Dua Lipa, the Dua Lipa song will get even a bigger reaction because you played a slow song beforehand, right?
Well, first, the problem is you do not let your audience interpret your profession.
Right.
And the minute you do that, you've lost them.
Right. Yep.
And most of the time, you know, you feel that you should do that. But if you just stick to your curriculum, they don't even notice it. They're drunk or they're all
right.
Busy counting their money or having a fight in the back.
Right, right.
They don't even realize it, you know.
But
I always tell when I do an event, I always tell them, you got to listen. You're 22. 80% of the people you brought to your function are in their 70s.
Right. They need their music too.
You invited them to your party.
Right.
If you're playing your stuff, they're going to leave within an hour.
Right. Yep.
So you want to do everybody. So when you look at a crowd, when you're performing, that's how, this is the difficult about being an artist on stage as far as doing entertainment. You have to anticipate what's in your crowd that night.
Oh, sure.
So when you do your set lists, you have to picture yourself on stage singing to those people. And if you miss the mark on that, and it's all young people, and you're doing all art, old fartsy stuff, you're in trouble. You're in big
right.
trouble.
You got to know
so
your
you
audience.
You better be able
sure.
to switch tunes pretty quick and sure. get back into that thing. So that's the difficult of, I mean, think about it. Elvis had over, 600-700 songs.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash, another 1,000. So that's your repertoire when you're doing the show. I mean, you're only there for an hour and a half.
Right. Yeah, which
so
ones do you pick?
Fit, you know, 500. Oh, how come you didn't sing that one? How come you didn't do this one? So after a while, I've been doing this for over 20 years now. So I kind of got it down pat as to which ones really get their toes tapping, which ones make them cry, which ones make them happy.
Right. You've tested it.
You tested it. And right. with the problem with Elvis and Johnny Cash, you have standards.
The so one, yeah, I would expect certain.
Dog.
Oh, absolutely. And
Jailhouse
Love Me Tender
Rock.
And Jailhouse
Love
Rock.
Me Tender. Right. Yeah. Yep. No, you can't do that all the time. You just can't. So what you do is you throw a medley in once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the medley in, get it over with, and then go and start doing the other stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a tough business.
Now she tells me you're moving.
Yes, we are. We are actually headed out from New York to, we honeymooned in Branson, Missouri, and we entered a Legends concert down there on our honeymoon. And we were on the stage in Branson at the Legends Theater, and we liked the area. and it's a lot more our speed down there as far as entertainment goes. And so we're headed out in May.
Oh, good for you. Now, do you have an agent that tries to get you in these places, or are you just going to knock on doors?
You know, we're going to get down there. We're going to get settled, and we'll see how it goes down there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get settled first.
Uh-huh. But you're expecting still to do the same thing, though, right? To try to do more of a...
You know, if you force it, it doesn't come.
Oh, okay. I see.
If you let it go and just show up here and there, the doors just open up for you.
Sure. No, that's, you know, that's a good way of looking
at it. My wife and I have both been entertaining for over 20 years, and she does fabulous work, too. So when we get down there, we'll go around here and there and see what's going on. We know people down there, too, as well, so we should be okay.
Now, what does she do? Does she play an instrument? Or
My wife is from Austria, Europe.
Hmm.
And she was one of the top female Elvis singers in Europe.
An Elvis and family. An all Elvis
yes.
family.
And we it. Met at the very first Elvis festival up in Lake George.
Amazing.
And we've been dating and going back and forth to Europe, and then finally she settled here. We got married and we perform. She does Elvis, Roy Orbison, the Platters.
I love it. All
kinds of stuff. She's phenomenal. You know, so when we get out there, we're gonna rock the place, I'm sure.
Oh,
we're a whole different beast. So gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've never been out there. I was telling Jenna that I went to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee once. When we were on our way to Nashville, we stopped over there and we stayed in the, rented a timeshare there. And
I actually went to Pigeon Forge and performed at Dollywood.
You did?
Dollywood, yes. And her bluegrass band, which is out in the middle of the park. And I was in there fooling around with the bluegrass band, and Dolly Parton showed up that day.
She did?
Yep, and I got to speak with her. She came up to me. She's now, Elvis, you good-looking Elvis, she said. She goes, one thing in my park, you have a lot of fun and no cursing. Don't you curse in my park.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, no cursing, no swearing. I said, oh, my God. I was starstruck. I didn't know what to do.
Well, this is funny, too. When I was on the radio on WGNA, my first, I think maybe my first year, I just started, Dolly Parton came to the Capital Region. She sang at that time, it was the Knickerbocker Arena. And my partner at the time was a guy named Uncle Fred. And I don't think they even used my name, Ryman Ritchie, at the time. It was just Uncle Fred and Ritchie, right?
Yep.
So she walked right up to us and she goes, what's your name? And Fred goes, I'm Uncle Fred. And then she turned to me and she goes, and whose cousin are you? I just remember her saying that, like, and at first I left, she walked right up to me. I mean, yeah, she was really, really nice. What a thrill. Yeah. That was really, really cool. So this show is on April the 8th. It's your last show here.
Correct. Yes, it is. Yep.
Wow.
My last show.
And again, doors open at 5. The dinner and show starts at 5:30. The tickets are $45 a person with dinner. You got to have a reservation, and $35 without the dinner.
Correct.
Okay. I'm just reading off the billboard here.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great. I really wish I could get out there to see. You know, we'll just be coming back. We're on vacation, but maybe not, actually. I might be able to get there if it's not sold out. Hope it is.
Yeah. And we did pretty well the last two shows we did. We also did a Rat Pack show down there, too. That sold out. And
so you did Sinatra?
No, I was Dean Martin.
You were Dean Martin?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had a Sammy Davis, and we had a Sinatra down there, and we sold out on that.
But how do you find those people locally that can do that? That's not something you can just find, you know, that easily in the Capital Region.
We have a lot of great entertainers around here. You have to pick and choose the ones you can work with, you know?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's a specific talent. I mean, to find a Sammy impersonator or a...
Yeah, we actually did the actual Rat Pack show with all the jokes and the drinking and the whole nine yards.
That was such a classic time. Are you fans of Sebastian Maniscalco, by any chance, the comedian? Have you ever seen him?
No, I haven't seen him.
No, he is hysterical. And he just did a thing on Netflix. He always said that was the greatest time in entertainment was, the Rat Pack era. And he does his show in a tux because he asked the audience if you would please dress up in a tux because I want to recreate like Vegas, you know, from the 60s. Or, you know,
is that the Oriental guy?
No.
Okay. There's a guy that dresses in a tux. He's Oriental. He's pretty funny too. Oh, I don't know.
You got to check this guy out. He's really, really funny. And that's great. Well, this is good. Yeah. Thank you so much. And
hey, not a problem. Anytime we can help out, just give us a ringy dingy.
I definitely will. This is the Little Vegas Wedding Chapel and Theater in Rotterdam. All right. Talk to you soon, sir. Bill.
Thank you. Have a good time.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. So there you go. Thank you very much, Jenna. Thank you very much, Bill. We'll end with this little piece of trivia. I thought this was pretty funny. Do you know the band They Might Be Giants? Well, that band, supposedly, occasionally, they play their own tribute band. They open for themselves as the Sapphire Bullets. And they perform the album Flood from start to finish. So they do their own tribute to their own band. That's an interesting take. If a tribute band's playing in your area, go out and support them. They work hard. They really do. They prepare for a long, long time to do this. They get the costumes. They go all out. And, you know, they love the bands that they're paying tribute to. And I'm sure you do, too. So go out and support them. Hope to see you next time. And I'll have some more tribute bands coming up. I'm trying to book some more. If you know any of them and you would like to get them on the podcast, you can email me at richie1077@gmail.com, or you can put a message on my website, you know, in the contact area on my website at hirerichie.com. You can put it there, and I'll get that message. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next time on Top Talent.